Oh man, that's good.
What's up, buddy?
It's good to be back, man. It's been a couple weeks.
Has been, man.
We've been a little busy with work and companies growing. Our real estate company's super growing, and YouTube channel is crushing. And man, a humble brag. We're super excited about it. So the Drew Barrymore show reached out to us. The Drew Barrymore show out of New York reached out to us and saw our YouTube channel and everything we were doing and all that, and thought we were cool dudes, and invited us to be a part of this process where they pick correspondents around the country to like highlight different major cities, and they wanted, I guess, do some of their shows or a portion of their shows, just highlighting other cities and like things you might not know about it, yada yada. So we go into this process, and then we got picked to be the local correspondents for Denver.
That's right.
So that was cool, man. And
Drew Barrymore, man, she was like for sure.
You know what got us?
She was first crush for sure for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
You beat me to it.
You're just saying that. No, was she? Was she you?
Well, remember when we were like on that video that we had to submit to them, and I was like, Drew? What up? Yeah. I know that won it. I know we were on the fence with him. And then right when I said that, Drew was probably doing something important, and she like heard me and then saw, and she was like, sign him up. No, but it's cool, man. And you know, obviously Day $1 Zero being an entrepreneur podcast, it's not just real estate, but we talk about just our growth from Day $1 Zero, how we still approach every day like it's Day $1 Zero, and then just the avenues that open up. And obviously our YouTube channel, Living in Denver, Colorado, that's a channel where we help a ton of people move to Colorado, and it's been crushing, and some local people watch and contact us as well. And but when you just triple down and you're diving in into your craft and you're trying to be innovative and just do the best that you can, like, you don't know what other possibilities and what other doors open up. And
right.
Like, hey, does that opportunity enhance us? Yeah, because it's still video stuff. They got local people here that are going to be shooting and doing the production for us. But it's still building our brand. Mm-hmm. It's still bringing awareness to you and I.
All attention, all awareness.
Yeah, but then there's some things that aren't productive. You know, like I've ventured into like different events and helped different people, you know, build their business. And we've built some websites and e-commerce, and we've invited people to their events. We've gone to the events, and then you start figuring out like, hey, you know, in addition to, you know, hey, do I want to be around these people? We'll talk about that today. Mm-hmm. No drama, but just straight up, no shooter or no chaser.
Yeah, questions you should always be asking yourself.
Yeah, but just your circle and just battles you want to pick, or, you know, pick to fight or not fight. And we're going to talk about that today. But outside of that, just, hey, is this productive? Like, is us helping someone build their brand and their events or whatever it may be, like, is that the most productive use of our time when we've got so much more we want to accomplish that also needs our attention? Because we've got an entire team that work with us, so we can't just not build what we're building. Like, other people are a part of this now, and they rely on us to do a great job. And then in addition to that, you know, hey, is going and then the time spent to instruct or to do certain things, like, hey, is that the best use of your time, whether you want to be around those people or not? We'll save that for later. But regardless of whether you want to see them or like, is it just the best use of time? It's like, man, we got to stay the course. You know, and all you entrepreneurs out there that are grinding and hustling, like, I admire you. Regardless of what level you're at, I just admire your ambition and your drive to just want to do this, because this shit's hard, man.
It is hard.
This shit's hard. Being a successful entrepreneur is hard, and there's so much smoke and mirrors nowadays, and everyone gets to call themselves an entrepreneur, and it's super fancy now. And you know, I have a little chip on my shoulder toward that, because I think I'm protective of real entrepreneurs and just protecting the creed of like what this actually looks like and the work that's entailed and the creativity and zigging and zagging and... But we've made some good decisions, man. And so the Drew Barrymore thing was super cool. We're excited for that. Our podcast is creeping up on 30,000 downloads an episode, which is super cool. And hey, you can throw shade at that if you want. You can come in the office and look at our handy dandy laptop and take a look at numbers if you like. If it's, you know, if that's just an impossible number that you can't imagine. But social media is growing. Our families are growing.
We're on a good path, man.
We're in a good path. And you know what else, man? I told this on my Instagram yesterday. I'm not sure if this ties into our topic today, but it kind of does as far as like picking your battles and just putting yourself around the right people. But, you know, we had the crud you know, you and I got sick. We had the crud pretty bad for like 10 days or whatever. And, you know, one day I was like, I kind of had an appetite. Mm-hmm. I hadn't eaten in like 2.5 days. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, God. I weighed myself. I was like 229. I'm like, oh, I think I was born 229. Like, I better eat or like I'm not going to die from the crud. I'm going to die from not mm-hmm. not eating. And so I ordered some food, man. And it's like in the evening. And I think I kind of have an appetite. Like, let me just get some Slim Chickens. I get the waffle. Which yep. is, you know, like, all right. I have no taste. So it's like, it doesn't really matter. But like the texture and the thought
not
of.
Not the worst, bro.
Oh, God.
I know.
But so I get it because I feel like, oh, it'll go down. I got yeah. a chocolate shake with it. And so I'm sitting there in the garage, you know, because I sat in my garage for days just mm-hmm. waiting for time to go by and staying away from everybody. But so I order it in this evening, and, this gentleman and his wife pull up, and his name's John. It's not John, but I call it John because I haven't asked permission to speak about him personally.
This was the delivery driver?
Delivery driver. Okay. His name's not John, but I call him yeah. John. Because, again, if I don't have permission to say people's real name, like, sure. I don't know, maybe I'm weird about that. Maybe it doesn't matter, but he's John for now. So he pulls up, and he's got this, like, these pearly whites, big smile, nice hair, and he looks like the detective from The Departed that was protecting Homeboy that got thrown off the roof. Yep, no disrespect. I don't wish that on anybody, but the guy that eventually got thrown off the roof in The Departed,
yeah,
he's got a big old bright smile like him, and he was super tan, just a great tan, had some shorts on. I'm like, this dude golfs.
Yeah, uh-huh.
He looked like a guy that's enjoying retirement golfing, and you know, he's like, yeah, my wife and I do this, man. We like to get out of the house and different stuff. Mm. But when he, you know, so that's why they do the DoorDash.
Yeah.
And, but when he was first getting out of his car, man, I just didn't feel that good. And I see him and he's smiling. He's like, oh man, you're a big guy. Look at this big, strong guy, hun. How you doing, man? And he shakes my hand and that just made me feel good, dude. It kind of put a smile on my face. And I was just like, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
And he's asking me about my day, so I told him about my day, and then he's telling me, he's like, you look like my son, you remind me of my son, you know, and just, my son was this big, strong guy, and he had a big truck like you, and did these things, and this things, and after a couple of minutes, he, come to find out his son passed away.
Oh,
his
shit.
Son was in, like, his young 30s, had a freak accident on an ATV.
Damn.
He fell off the back of, like, an ATV, and I guess when he fell back, the back of his neck hit a rock or something, and it cut his spinal cord like up toward the top or something. I guess he was like dead on scene. Like,
wow.
Like right when he hit, he was out.
Wow.
Right. And I just was like, cause I asked him, I was like, oh, what do you mean was like, is he in a different state? And like, he ended up telling me the story but he was so electric about his son and like still proud of like being a father. You'd never know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was, man, I just thought that was the coolest thing. Cause it affected my day. It affected me. Mm-hmm. Like, and when a dad finds an opportunity to talk about his son, I just think that, or their kids, I just think that's cool. I don't know if you're being selfish when you're doing that or not. I don't think far enough into it. I feel like the guy's intent was genuine, that he just loves sharing about his son. And I'm like, hey, that's cool, because you talking about your son affects me thinking about my son. And he just made me feel good about my day. And I feel like crap, you know? And like, that was cool. And he comes back. So I ordered some DoorDash last night. It's not a regular thing. It's
a regular thing in our house, bro.
It's like a once a day thing. It's not like we don't do three times a day. Gonna get crazy, everybody. We only DoorDash like once a day. But I ordered last night, and it was him again, him and his wife. Mm. And right when he rolled up, man, I just had a smile on my face,
cool.
I just said, John, quote unquote, I said, what's up, man? Round two. How are you? And he goes, I'm great, Will. Remembered my name, and he goes, how are you? How's your day? And when he said that, my response was different. I told him about my son.
Mm.
So when he asked me about my day, it wasn't all the success we're having and how excited I am. And we are having success. And I am excited about it. And we have given to people. And we are helping people. Not just our people that are on our team. Like, we've donated and done some really cool stuff this year that we wouldn't have been able to do, man, if we weren't financially in the position we're growing into. And so I tend to share those things sometimes because I'm proud of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But this time, when he asked me how my day was, I told him about how my day was, like, as far as my interaction with my son. And that was cool. And Cash was already in bed because I'm ordering like 8:30, right? Because I'm a super healthy American that eats it super late at night.
Of course,
I didn't eat all day. So then I eat everything at night, right? Super healthy. So I'm showing him pictures of Cash and he's like, oh man, look at this. And he's saying certain things and talked about his son again. He showed me pictures of his son. I said, man, he's a good looking kid. And he was strong. Dude was shredded. And just seemed like a good guy. And so we kind of shared a little moment there. And then he said, as he was leaving, he goes, you know, man, we just do this for fun, you know, and look, it saves us a couple extra bucks. And, you know, we like getting out of the house. But he goes, Will, we don't live too far from you, man. So I was talking about how why we live in the house we live in mm-hmm. and how it's close to in-laws. Mm-hmm. It was just a fun conversation. He's like, I got to get going. I got some more DoorDashes. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, sorry, man. And he goes, but hey, listen, we don't live too far from here. We tend to stay around here when we do this. And we should grab lunch sometime.
Oh, that's cool.
And I just said, dude, you got a deal.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the perspective you have on fatherhood and your energy and your ability to be positive. If something happened to my kids, bro, mm-hmm. I don't know if I would survive. I'm not suicidal. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't go that route. But it would take me a while, man.
Rough, man.
I don't know how positive I could be. Like, I want to say that I would be like him. The more appropriate thing to say is, I hope. Well, I don't hope. I hope my kids are okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just, if something were to happen, like, I could only pray and hope that I would come out on the other end at some point telling my kids' story mm-hmm. and being positive, realizing that my talking about my children and spreading that, they are still living. Mm-hmm. And those stories still affect other people, and it can change your day. And so just the perspective that dude has on fatherhood.
Isn't it interesting, too, how someone, a complete random interaction with a complete random stranger can have the impact on you that it did, and you guys have established this relationship. And out of the gate, he impacted you. And when you look
at... I talked about it last night on my Instagram.
Dude, look at some of these other relationships where, which I'm sure we're going to get into today, to where it's like, man, everything is set up to where it's like, man, you want this relationship to be something.
And you try and you try and you try
and you try and you try and it's just not.
But you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Period, right?
Yeah.
But I'm so excited to go to lunch with him. And obviously, like, I'm just getting to know him. And I'm not saying he's going to be my best friend or anything. Like, I'm sure he's a busy guy too. But just the perspective you can gain from him, and it's really cool. But I was talking about it on my Instagram last night, and mm-hmm. it was like how extraordinary ordinary can be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, we're motivated. Other people are motivated. Like, you always think about affecting thousands of people, and we're getting ready to start doing events in the fourth quarter and then in 2022, and we're going to throw some large events, and we're in the planning phases of that now and creating the content. And you start thinking of affecting hundreds and thousands of people and hundreds or thousands, like mm-hmm. we're not throwing an event with hundreds of thousands. It's a couple hundred and then maybe a thousand. We're not huge yet. But you think about that, and it's like, it'll keep you up at night. You're motivated, and you're writing the content for it, and like, I want to teach this, and wow. And it's like, cool. And like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the lesson from that guy of just like also realizing how much you can affect just the people right in front of you, just mm-hmm. in that 3-foot radius, and he's just out delivering food, man. Mm-hmm. But it's just who he – it's just the person and the energy that it is. You know, you could tell he was well-spoken, carried himself well. Like, you could tell, like, this is a successful guy who's retired and takes his wife out and does DoorDash because they want to get out of the house. They don't mm-hmm. necessarily need the money. They just want to get out of the house and kind of mm-hmm. do their thing. And you could tell by the way he engages. He loves meeting new people. And I just started thinking, like, you know what, man? I hope – either now or one day, even in my most ordinary moments, when I'm not on a stage, when I'm not on a podcast, when I'm not on a YouTube video, like in my most ordinary moments, I still care and pay attention enough to look somebody in the eye and shake mm-hmm. their hand mm-hmm. and just ask them how they're doing. And I feel like I am that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm that way with our clients. It's necessary to help our clients and to listen to them and engage and make them feel like they're heard and taken care of, and I'm really good in those settings. Mm-hmm. But I'm also a talker, mm-hmm. and I'm a go-getter, and I'm fast-paced, and sometimes, inadvertently, unintentionally, you know, maybe the person you said hi to at the gas station could have been a longer hi, or mm-hmm. it could have been a more intentional hi, or you're standing in line at freaking Subway, and someone says hi to you. Oh, hey, you know, maybe you could have made a little bit more eye contact or just asked them how their day was. You just never know. Not that everybody has to turn into your friend. But just in your ordinary moments, when the time is there because you're filling up your gas anyway or you're standing in line waiting for your sandwich anyway, what that interaction could mm-hmm. be. And I just, man, even in my ordinary moments, I really hope that I can still have like an impact on this, people like he did. And it was such a good lesson for me to feel, because I do feel like I'm good with people. I do feel like I'm emotionally intelligent. But I also feel, because we're go-getters and we're mm-hmm. fast and we're doing some things, it's like, hey, maybe unintentionally I've overlooked some of those. And so not to force it. I'm not saying mm-hmm. force awkward conversations with people that aren't engaging with you, but just looking somebody in the eye and just, mm-hmm. man, how's your day, man?
Well, and it's a good lesson too. You know, what I take out of that is just the thought of like, you know, judging people or even having these preconceived notions on both fronts. You know, first of all, not just looking at him like, oh, he's just a fucking DoorDash guy, like, you know, and just not giving him any more weight than that.
Yeah.
And secondly, people where we over-index who we think they are, you know, and we overemphasize and give people just kind of undue or unnecessary.
Too much credit.
Yeah, too much credit. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well,
it goes both ways.
I've run into that problem. You know, like that's, so we're going to be talking about that today, right? Let's just get into it. We talk about picking our battles or, hey, which bones are you going to decide to pick? And, you know, like as you grow, you're your own worst critic. As we grow, like we're leveling up, we're hitting this next level of success. And you don't necessarily like question yourself, but like, people kind of say things here and there, and as you start kind of like outgrowing a circle, or you're doing some things maybe a little bit differently than some people in your circle would do, and maybe they're a little insecure about it, you know, but they're not mad, and you're still friends, everything is cool. But like, I've been kind of in this phase where I feel like there's a couple people that are kind of like somewhat close proximity to us that have been mentioning some things on podcasts, and it's like, nah, it's not directly like, hey, I'm not that big of a deal. Like, let me just humble myself, right? Like, I don't want to think that I'm such a big deal that people are just specifically thinking about me every time they open their fucking mouth. Like, wow. Right? Like, no. Even Kobe Bryant said that. Like, they asked him, like, when he shot four air balls and they were done with the playoffs, it was like his rookie season.
Yeah.
You know, and they were like, oh, what was all the scrutiny like? Or just, he's like, wasn't about me. Mm-hmm. The team lost, and now we got to wait till next year. And he's like, this isn't about me. Mm-hmm. Like, who am I? I'm fucking nobody. Like, no, I didn't have a hard time bouncing back from those four air balls because I knew my legs weren't conditioned for that long of a season. I just came from high school playing 35 games to playing 80 games, and my legs were fatigued. He's like, all my shots were straight. They were good. They were just short. I didn't have the legs to jump and get off the floor at the end of the season. I knew what I had to fix. And he's like, it wasn't about me. The team lost. Who gives a shit who's talking trash to me on social media or calling me a flop? Because it was so much bigger. It was about the team. He's like, who gives a shit about me? And I'm, so that's where I'm at. Like, I don't want to sit here and make assumptions that people are just directly talking about me, right? Because I'm not that big of a deal. But I do think that there's been some things said to where, like, I might be on their mind, or they might have a couple of people on their mind, and they're not throwing shade, but they're kind of saying some things that just limits, it's limited perspective with social media and followings and how that all works out. And, you know, like, we've grown a lot. Like, when we were on Andy Frisell's podcast, I think I've gained like 48,000 followers after we were on Andy Frisell's podcast.
Huge.
His following and how much people interact with Andy Frisella, and then if he signs off on someone, how much his following pours in and supports you is amazing. Prior to that, you know, like, I would boost a couple of my posts. I'd throw $20 on a post to just get it out more and try to get myself out there and grow my page. Not with bots or anything, none of that stuff. But I would boost my post. But when you boost a post, you get bots that go to your page. You get fake accounts that start following your page. I've had accounts that are my name and face follow me. Like, ones are obvious enough I can see it. But as you start gaining a ton of followers, you can't keep up with all of it. So you're going to have some fake ones and some bots. And I think that's just the nature of the beast when you've decided to boost and commercialize a post and try to spread yourself out there. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But I've heard some people talk about some of that and, like, you know, like, oh, well, hey, how true is your following? Or how true is when you say you want to, like, speak to your following, but some of your following isn't even real? And it's like, you know, like, at first I kind of took offense to that, and I kind of felt like they were talking about me. But then it's like, well, it's not just about me. There's probably other people that this person's talking about. But it's like, hey, you're so limited because maybe you've never boosted a post before, or you don't know enough about Instagram and how these bots and how these spam accounts work and how they try to get into your filtered messages and get you to follow them back or buy their celebrity package. Like, it's just part of having a public page and then boosting posts and putting yourself into that audience, into that realm, right? Mm-hmm. Just kind of the nature of the beast. But obviously there's a little insecurity. Like, I because of the person that was saying it, I kind of felt attacked a little bit. And I'm like, ah, maybe it's not about me. Maybe it is. But then it's like, who cares? Like, hey, I know my following's freaking real. Right, like, I know there's going to be bots and like, everyone has issues with that, right? So, or at least people that boost posts and the people that I know that have dealt with that. Even Andy Frisell and other people deal with accounts that do that.
Dude,
spam
and just
do chat
all across.
It's
Instagram,
just part of it.
And
don't tell me
you
went through my 150,000 followers and you found 80% of them are fake. Like, you're full of shit, man. Yeah. Like, and that's probably a blanket statement, but you know, I took a little bit of like, hey, what, like, what's that person trying to say? Like, you know, it's like, well. But then he's like, oh, but because, hey, that doesn't make me tick, and I'm not into followers. And I was like, well, is that true? Or, like, are you taking stabs from like your platform in a kind, calm demeanor, but you're kindly, calmly taking jabs because maybe there is some insecurity there. Or maybe like you highlighting that some counts, like there are bots and there's some that aren't real or they're duplicates. That like justifies in your head that like, oh, that's why they're bigger than you. I don't know, you know, and there's been a couple of people that have been talking about that. But then I was like thinking of like, well, maybe they're just limited. Like they don't understand like how the platform works. And like, because they've never gone that deep into it, they don't just know the nature of the beast sometimes. Mm-hmm. But then I caught myself and it's like, hey man, why do you care?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you care? Mm-hmm. Like if they're in your circle and got something to say to you, they should just say it to you. And if they're not saying it to you, then, you know, maybe it's not about you, you know, mm-hmm. But like, man, as you grow, you kind of like, you don't get insecure, but like you just kind of, you start hearing some chatters and you're like, man, maybe this isn't directly related to me, but based off of like how they said it, it kind of reminds me of a conversation I had with them a couple months ago. So I feel like it is somewhat related to me and they're starting to like passively take some jabs at you, but they'll still like your content or watch your content or you're still friends. And it's like, and for me, that ain't me.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't like what you're doing, I say it, but that's also could be immature. Because then it's like, hey, do you have to like everything your friends do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to go explain yourself mm-hmm. to your friend on everything mm-hmm. that you do that maybe they don't like? And it's like, hold on, let me just pump the brakes. I know who I am. I know the following that I have, and I know the private messages I get and the views that I get and the comments that I get. And I do see all the real ones, and there are real people I watch. And here's the other thing. Who cares if it's just one person?
Yeah.
If I'm interacting with my audience and I'm passionate about it, whether you think there's duplicate accounts on there and that's just kind of part of Instagram and like where it's gone now. Yeah, I deal with some of that shit, but it doesn't mean that the other real ones don't fucking matter. And it doesn't mean that just because you've got bots or some fake ones that infiltrate your fucking page, it doesn't mean that your number's fake or you're out there spending a ton of money trying to just get some arbitrary number.
Yeah,
that ain't true.
Less of an impact.
That
or
ain't
something.
Fucking true.
Yeah,
like, and hey, I can't even take credit for the majority of mine. It was, you know, I think I was at like 30,000. And then, man, we hit Annie Frisella's podcast. And then for the next 30 days, dude, mm-hmm. I think I grew like 47,000 followers.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think I grew like 47 after that. It's crazy.
Man, good for you.
I know.
But you don't even go on your social media. But, you know, I had to check myself. But as you grow, dude, you do. Like, you don't get insecure, but you start.
Well, you become a bigger target, first of all,
well,
man.
You're becoming a bigger target, yeah. But you're also a target on yourself because you start questioning yourself more, making sure that you are doing things for the right reasons mm-hmm. with the right intent. And I had to just pump the brakes on that. You know, because then I've also seen a handful of people talking about money
mm-hmm.
and saying that money doesn't motivate them. You know, in the context of, and I'm, you know, I'm going to generalize this, but the handful of people, some people that are closer to me than others, but it's just been like a topic of discussion lately, or maybe like, because we're hitting that next level, I've got more of an ear for it. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, I'm hearing more of it. And there's been a handful of people that have talked about it. And the synopsis that I get across the board consistently is, you know, like, hey, money doesn't motivate me, you know, and I'm not driven by that. But, hey, if you are, that's okay. Like, if that drives you and, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, that's okay. And it's like, what the fuck does that mean? And it reminds me of, like, vegans. It reminds me of you go to dinner with a vegan and they go, oh, no, I don't kill animals and eat them. But it's okay if you do. No, it's more than okay. You can have a steak right in front of me. I'm just like, you're sounding kind and calm and polite, but really you're throwing shade. You're throwing a fucking insult because you're making this blanket statement about, I'm not this, but if you are, that's okay. And it's like, that's such a limited, one-dimensional comment toward people that are motivated by money. And here's my thing, like, am I motivated by money? Yes. Is that my sole motivation? No. But money's a tool. And I'm just gonna humble brag a little bit. Donations and raise money that we've contributed to veterans this year, $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
If we are not in a place of financial success and scaling our brand, then money's not an option in our tool belt to then mm-hmm. use, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, and we've also gifted things to people that have contributed to enhancing their business
yeah.
that have been great tools.
All the time. Yeah.
And hey, I'm not saying that because I'm expecting a thank you or I'm expecting something in return. Not at all. What I am saying on this podcast, because of our viewers that we do get, and I do try to preach on here to just give some perspective, is I don't expect anything in return. I selfishly feel amazing gifting things to people that I care about that have been great gifts that enhance their business, mm-hmm. that have been tools for them. I don't just buy dumb shit. And then the money that we've donated that have helped veterans go to events and seek counsel for the betterment of their future and their mental state. I feel super proud. If you and I are scraping, just barely getting by, that's not an option. So if money's bad, maybe it's the beholder of it. Maybe there's people that do get motivated by money and they lie and they cheat and steal and trick people and they're shark salesmen or whatever and they're making money and then there is no good intention. They're keeping it all for themselves and they're just doing dumb shit. Okay, I see that. And then, yeah, if that person's motivated by money, like, okay, and hey, none of my business. But when I've heard people talk about it, and then maybe it's just me being defensive, I understand that it could be that too because I'm in another financial bracket that I've never been in before, right? So I understand that maybe I'm being a little defensive, so I'm talking through it here on the podcast. But the bottom line is when it's like, hey, I'm not motivated by money, and money doesn't drive me. Money doesn't get my rocks off. But hey, if it does for you, like, that's okay. It's like, that's not... How can that be the conversation? How can your thought process be so elementary, so pedestrian that you don't realize, like, for example, the first eye opener for us was when we were talking to Sal Frisella, right? President of First Forum, Andy Frisella's brother. Great guys. I know Andy does a ton. I have not spoken personally to Andy about his donations. I'm sure there's a fuck ton because I've heard stuff, but I haven't spoken to him directly about it, so I can't mention those things. But we have spoken to Sal Frisella. And the things that he does with adopting kids in Haiti and building schools and different stuff. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
How cool is it when you don't have to go try to raise money and you got all this red tape of certain platforms that are going to take a percentage of it or this or that. You can just cut a check and build a school.
Yeah.
Baller.
Well, here's the thing. You have exposure and you have experience in that. People that are saying otherwise, they haven't had that experience. That's like if you grow up with an alcoholic father who just beats the shit out of you, your only experience with alcohol is just negative and this and this.
Okay,
and it's like,
fine. But at some point when you turn into the age of adulthood, you should also understand that even if you haven't experienced other versions of alcohol, you should at least know that there are.
Yeah.
Right? But, and then, you know, like if you're running a business, if you're running a nonprofit, or if you're you know, seeking sponsorship to do events or to do things for yourself, that costs money. And I bet companies that are motivated by money because they understand the impact that they can have that are giving you the money to go set out to do what you want to do. How can you be so limited in your perspective? It's like, well, thank God someone's motivated by money or they wouldn't be able to fund the impossible
for
you.
That's everything. Dude, that's the guy with his fucking MacBook and his Starbucks and his iPhone bitching about capitalists and capitalism.
It's just interesting, right? And like, I think it also frustrates me because if I hear these things from people I care about, that I look up to, that I expect more diversity or just more...
You expect more from them.
I expect more thought process from them. Like if they're going to say something like that, like, and then it just gets left at that, it's like, that's all you're going to give it. Man, like there's not more thought. You haven't thought more about this before you say it. Like it's just this blanket statement. And again, like it was very reminiscent across the table from the handful of people that I heard talking about it. They were like mirror images of each other. And it reminded me of a vegan. Like literally, we go to dinner with a vegan and the vegan says, oh, no, I don't kill animals and eat them. But it's okay if you do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, I don't, money doesn't drive me and I'm not motivated by money, but it's, hey, if that's your thing, like, hey, that's cool. What the fuck does that even mean? Do you even know what you can do with it?
No, that's the answer. No.
Well, and so like that frustrates me, right? But then here's my conclusion, right? Because I also understand, hey, you could be defensive because you're in a new financial bracket and you're proud of what you're doing, but you also feel like you're somewhat being attacked and you could be overthinking it maybe because maybe they're just shooting from the cuff and that's not what their entire thought process is. That's just all they gave, you know? So that's all you heard. And it's like, yeah, I realize I can be a little defensive toward it. Okay, cool. So the conclusion is, like, hey, man, I'm not writing emails. I'm not calling these people and barking up their tree and trying to convince them otherwise of what they think of money or go one step further and go out of my way to try to tell them my side of what I thought because then that's me assuming that, like, I even rate to tell them what I think because I'm assuming that they want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm not that big of a deal. And it's like, maybe you're being a little defensive. There's some other things there. And then coupled with... you know, some of the social media stuff that I've heard people talking about here and there. And it's like, hey, you know, here's the bottom line. It's not my job, right? Nor is it healthy for me to go trying to prove everybody right, to prove everybody wrong or to go plead my case and educate them on social media educate them on money just so these people can see where I'm coming from so I can get them to agree with me. It's like,
right.
Hey, man, it's okay if they don't agree with you. And here's the deal. What do you think of yourself? Do you have integrity with what you do? Are you proud of what you do? Are you proud of the contributions that you give? And do you know you're doing it for the right reasons? And, hey, do you know your following is legit despite the ones that you just can't control that are going to happen when you boost a post? But you know what you're doing has integrity with it, and you care about what you do, and you're genuine, and you're real? Yeah. Okay, well, then why do you feel like you need to go seek mm-hmm. battle? Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, man, that can become super toxic, and it's twofold. It's super toxic for yourself to go doing that. Secondly, humble yourself a bit and just realize, like, hey, maybe they don't care what I have to say. Mm-hmm. Who am I to go barking up someone's tree and go, hey, man, I heard you talking about money. Like, do you know what I think? It's like, hey, dude. That this is just how I think, and that's where it's at. And like, hey, well, I shouldn't be here to like change everybody's mind. The bottom line is, if anyone is like throwing us shade or not us, because you're not on social media.
I am on social media, right? For the record. I'm on social media. I'm not as active.
Eli Schmidt here. Give him a follow, a real follow.
Please.
If you're
you.
A bot out there,
follow
apologize.
Me. I don't give a shit.
If you're a bot, apologize.
Send me as many bots as possible. But boost that number.
The biggest thing for me was like, hey, if anybody is like passively throwing shade, just as much as I'm checking myself, like, hey, maybe I'm a little guarded. Maybe I'm a little defensive because of where we're at now. And I think, so I recognize that. I also need to recognize the other side of that coin. Maybe the people that are limited with how they speak toward it and they're saying other things to like justify, oh, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, you're rich, but you're an asshole. Like, oh, yeah, your following's bigger, but it's fake. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like whatever you need to say to like justify what you're saying right now. Like, hey, maybe they've got their own battles with themselves. And their own insecurities and their own limitations that they're dealing with that have nothing to do with you, but it just resonated for some reason, or it kind of triggered you a little bit, but maybe it's got nothing to do with you, and just leave that be and just care for people and accept them for who they are and care for them and have them around, or don't. And if they say things where you're just like, you know, man, that's just not the best person to have around, don't make a huge deal out of it. You just limit your time with them, mm-hmm. right? But you don't need to go picking that battle because maybe it really doesn't have anything to do with you. It just ironically triggered some of your thoughts, but really it's things that they're dealing with themselves.
Well, bro,
right?
And let's just pretend it does. Time and energy, literally the two most important finite resources on the planet, time and energy. And it's like, man, is this person whose opinion clearly doesn't matter, and should I spend my two most precious resources on this person?
Just to convince someone of what? And then you come off defensive, you come off like you're explaining yourself. But the bottom line is, hey, let's say they are throwing a little shade, or like, hey, they're friends of ours, or they're friends of mine, but, oh, but, you know, will this or will that, like, there's some things that kind of trickle through and get said. It's like, hey, you know what, here's the deal. When I'm at 1 million followers, and when we're talking in front of thousands of people on stage, and when we're...
You're bringing water to fucking...
Haiti or Detroit.
Yeah.
And we're continuing to contribute and donate where we can donate and help others. It's like, hey, you can throw shade. And you can say whatever that you need to say, but like, hey, I know what we're doing is a real deal, and I know our intentions are pure, and I know we're going to continue to grow and continue to be legit dudes that really do care with the right intention. And if there's any little chips on shoulders or little flakes that you can kind of peel off of me that you don't, oh, yeah, but there's like, and if you're looking for a chink in my armor, or if you're looking for something that's not quite how you would see fit or quite 100% pure or something, like whatever that is. And so you're looking for the chink in the armor. You're not looking for the armor that's been built. You're not looking at everything we've accomplished, everything we're contributing to. You're looking for these little shade pieces. Well, then I just question like your friendship, and I question where your mind's at in the first place, that you're looking for shade. You're not looking for all the sunlight we've brought.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're looking for, and it's like, hey, why are you looking for that? Mm-hmm. Why are you looking for that? Like, what about you is making you want to, like, find an imperfection or find a shade piece that allows it to be okay for you to say something or justify your situation? Mm-hmm. You know, and then I have to say the same thing toward myself. And this is why I didn't make phone calls or write emails or say things to people, because it's like, hey, nah, I didn't like what a handful of people said about money. I didn't like what a couple of people, you know, said about social media stuff. But it's like, hey. You go doing that, now you're throwing shade back at them, and you're looking and you're highlighting a shade piece versus the sunlight that they are as an overall person. And if you care for them overall as a person, then those things, you let those things go, just trusting that, hey, their intent is good with what they're trying to look at, and that maybe they're not trying to throw shade, but if they are, in time, it will show. The bottom line is, just give benefit of doubt. find the sunlight in everybody else that you've been looking at. Don't try to just find the shade because you feel like people are passively throwing it your way. Don't throw it back. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep scaling, knowing that you're a good dude, doing the best things, and I'm not fucking perfect, but I'm doing my damnedest to be perfect. And I know I'm helping people, and I know I'm doing the best that I can with everything we've got at this moment. And 5 years from now, I will be a better version of myself and continuing to grow and continuing to have impact. And, hey, all of that legit shit shines through. And if people over time still want to have patterns of finding or looking for shade, it comes out in the wash. Like, you don't need to try to find it right away. Like, people like that, they come out in the wash.
It does. Well, and every minute you spend trying to convince somebody else of their opinion is a minute not spent building our company, making more money to do those cool things that we want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, here's my thing. So why are we talking about this today? Like, am I talking about haters per se? I don't like that word because I also think that sometimes your haters, for lack of a better term right now, can be people that are closest to you.
Most of the time it is.
You know? So it's like, and we're starting to grow to that level where, like, yeah, I feel like there's a little bit of chatter and I feel like there's a little bit of shade being thrown, right? And it's like, so I want to talk about it on this podcast because we're going through it in real time. And whatever thought I have, I try to give that to you guys. So as you're going through it in your own world, whether you're at our level, ahead of our level, or less than our level, but you're going through some of these things, just a reminder of guys that are still practitioners, that still run a company. We're not making money on this podcast. We're not, this isn't our career. We have a business that we got to run and things that we got to do. So we're going through it in real time as practitioners alongside of you guys and just letting you know, like, hey, just check yourself, humble yourself a bit, and then just make sure, like, hey, if I'm doing the right things for the right reasons and I'm trying my best to be a good dude and I'm bringing a lot of sunlight to situations and to a company or to whatever impact that you can have, you can't get consumed by what people try to say. Like, you've just got to stay true to yourself, and that will stand test of time. And before you know it, those people might change their perspective of you or stop talking, or they won't. It comes out in the wash. But then the people that matter, that do support you, that are around you, that do understand what you're doing, they're there. And that's the Scott Lefferts and the Gavin Ekstroms and the Ben Newmans.
You know, the random DoorDash guy.
And the random DoorDash guy. But, like, you know, and, like, let's just talk about Ben Newman, man. Like, that friendship's been incredible. You know, and we've been chatting for a couple of years through social media. We met through Gavin Ekstrom, but now I'm on his personal speaking team, and we're planning and doing some events and talking about some cool stuff. And he's just a genuine guy that it's a new friendship. We don't love each other. You know, it's new, but he's invested, and he believes in what we're doing. He believes in our product, and he's got great tips, and we're talking about it. And the amount of money that guy can charge for his time, he doesn't charge me for time. I'm on his team. And we text back and forth, and we have calls, and we're talking about some content that I'm making, and we review that every once in a while. But he's not trying to – so he's not just being nice to me for a transaction. It's not that. Like, he's invested, and he believes in what we're doing. And, hey, he's a self-promoter. He's a self-talker, and he's out there doing his thing. But he genuinely believes that he's doing it for the right reasons and that he helps people. And I see things the same way. And I've struggled with that before as far as, like, self-promotion and, you know, because I've heard people talk about self-promotion before. And it's like – I started thinking about that, and it's like, okay – self-promotion is like this thing that people battle. And like, oh, like, hey, that could come off cocky or this or that. It's like, okay, well, you don't want to self-promote, but you're okay with everybody else talking about you. Because it's like, how pretentious can that look? Like, oh, I'm not going to say anything about myself, but I'm going to be so awesome that when people come around me, if they believe in what I do, they will just go out and spread the word. Well, now you're putting the obligation on just clients or consumers or just normal people to go spread the word per se. And it's like, hey, how pretentious is that? That you just expect everybody else to spread the word if your product is good enough, but you won't speak up and just talk to people about what you do. And I don't mean like, hey, come to my event. Hey, buy my book. Hey, this, hey, I'm not saying that. And you're never going to see me go, hey, looking to buy or sell. You never hear me say that. Every time I get on the mic or we're on a YouTube channel or on our Facebook lives, we're deciding on a topic that we think is valuable for consumers, and we talk about the topic, and then we allow people to contact us. We don't go cold calling or doing anything else, but that's still self-promotion, but it's with the integrity that we feel there's value behind what we have to say, and we genuinely feel like we take the best care, and we are the best professionals in Colorado to handle that, and the more people we help, the better, in my opinion. You know, so like, that's not today's topic, but like, I've questioned that before, and the more I thought about it, it actually confirmed my okayness to self-promote. I'm like, 100%. No, man, I feel like I'm a professional. I feel like I'm great at what I do. And I feel like I have integrity with how I'm trying to help people, and we do the right things for the right reasons all the time. So, yeah, I'm comfortable putting myself out there and speaking to that because I do want people to use our services and I do want to do a great job for them. And I feel like the more people we help, the better.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I feel like the integrity, if you believe in you as a product or whatever product you have, if you believe in it, then, yeah, what the hell's wrong with it? So mm-hmm. I've battled that before. And I think, like, as you grow financially, publicly, whatever that looks like for you, you tend to question yourself sometimes. And you also tend to question yourself against what people in your circle question. You know, and the bottom line is you just got to stay true to yourself and you got to look at that. And then, you know, my second point today, Eli, is people that are just assholes.
There's that.
Right? Like, I don't know about you guys listening, if you've ever, like, seeked or, like, a circle seeked you or you seeked a circle, but, like, they were accredited people or maybe they were famous or maybe they're famous in a certain profession and and they're, like, this big deal and they're honorable people per se and, like, you feel good name dropping that's not your friend and you're mentioning their names and it feels good to name drop. And then you subconsciously, you don't even realize like, hey, why am I even in this circle? And because maybe somebody in that circle is treating you like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that happened to me, you know, and like no names mentioned, no drama. Right. And if you're listening, you know who it is, keep it to yourself. And if you're the person that's listening and it's you, you can fucking come talk to me in person, you know, cause I think you owe me an apology and maybe I'll never get it. And that's okay. But what I'm not going to do is, like, keep my fucking mouth shut on my own podcast where I feel like we deliver a good message that people can learn from and correlate it to their stories. But then I got to keep my mouth shut because it's like, oh, you're stirring up drama. Nope, I'm not going to mention names and stir up drama. But I am going to speak about how I feel about it. And if that bothers you because you know the person or you are the person, hey, maybe you should man up and have a conversation. Because I promise you, whatever you're going to say to me on the phone or whatever you want to say in other circles where I'm not, you wouldn't say it to my fucking face. And that's my other thing. Like, I'm not, and that's not a threat to be a tough guy. But a third note today, we're going to talk about tough guys today. But getting back to, like, just people being jerks, man. Like, I had an individual that, yeah, man, my wife and I created content and built a website and built e-commerce and brought handfuls of people to their events. And this person, part of their speech is that they know they're an asshole. Yeah, I'm just an asshole. And they say that. And, like, we were at an event. And this person, in front of the entire group, as they were on their soapbox, acting like they're making change and being humble, per se, said, hey, let's take Will for an example. Will just loves me. He just loves me. He just wants to love on me. And I treat him like fucking shit. Said that in front of a group. Mm-hmm. And I brought like 8 people to this event. And these people respect me. They spent a lot of money to be at this event. And I got pulled off to the side by 2 people from my circle that I brought into this circle for the event. And they said, and they know where we're at financially. They know what we're building with YouTube. They do real estate with us. These are close guys to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those 2 guys came up to me and said, hey man, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. You make a lot of money being here. And I go, no man, it's not for the money. Like, I want to bring you guys into my old world, you know, and to do these certain things. And let me leave it at that. Cause I want to go into like what event or what. So let me be more neutral, but no, hey, this is why. And they go, hey man, but why do you put up with that? Like, people really treat you like that, man? Like, you've got so much going for yourself. You and Eli are doing this and doing that, and these guys can speak to it because they do real estate with us.
Right, right.
We joined these guys at EXP.
Right.
They know our numbers. Yeah. They know our production. And both of them were like, hey, what are you doing, man? Like you think that's okay? And like,
Time to go.
Well, one, it was eye-opening when they said that, but secondly, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
That as a grown man and as a father, I've let somebody disrespect. Well, here's the thing. That person also disrespected my family and my home. We had like a catered dinner, all this stuff. Remember, like, came to town, catered dinner. My in-laws were excited to meet this person, and they had something else to take care of and watch. So they grabbed a plate, didn't sit at the dinner table, sat by themselves on the couch.
Yep.
And just ghosted my family. It was just awkward and no call, no show my wife 3 times for meetings where she's building your content. And like, I think I've given enough here, right? Disrespectful. Now, Bennett, I talked to myself, and it's like, hey, benefit of doubt, just be a grown person. And so I had a conversation with that person, right? Cool. Got an apology that felt like it was genuine. Got an email that got sent to my wife also apologizing. I was like, hey, that's cool. So, man, I felt really good about it. I fell back into fawning or back into love, per se, with that friendship because it was like, hey, thank you. You called your shit. You apologized, man, and like, apologized to my, cool. And then, hey, another event comes back around. And within, you know, I don't know, a couple of months, back to the same shit.
Yep.
Back to the guessing games, and this person said I disrespected him, and I literally said, hey, man, I've never disrespected you. Matter of fact, here's everything I have done, and I'm not going to sit here and play this guessing game with you. If I did something that bothered you, you should just say it. Like when you disrespected my family and you disrespected me, I said it, and I gave you an opportunity to correct it. And then to that person's credit, they said, hey, you're right. Like, I didn't mention it to you, but this is what they said. I know myself, and this is literally verbatim on a text message. I know myself, and when I'm not given enough credit or recognition for what I've done, it bothers me. And I'm thinking, like, what the fuck have I not credited you for?
Right.
Because I know me, and I know every time I've opened my mouth about you, whether it's at an event or on the side, beyond the bone I had to pick with you, because I did seek counsel from some friends when I was going through the beef with this person, and it wasn't to talk shit, it was to seek counsel. But everything I said to those friends that I seeked counsel with, I said to your fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
Corrected. Well, then, you know, but I know, hey, after that happened, and then this next thing comes down, it's like, oh, I know I didn't disrespect you. And it's like, what recognition or something did I not give you? That's the most egotistical thing I've ever heard. And then I figured it out. Hey, you just don't like me. Like, there's just something about me that rubs you the wrong way. And no matter what I try to do, I'm just Cinderella with you. Mm-hmm. No matter what I try to do, the house will never be clean enough. You'll never be happy enough. There'll always be something about me that rubs you the wrong way. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay. You don't, right? But where my self-respect comes back into play is like, hey, now that I'm like recognizing that, it's like, hey, I can't fawn that and be around it for what? To have fancy high-level friends that I can like name drop and it not sounds needed. Cool to say them. It's like, hey, how disrespectful is that to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I politely said, hey, man, no matter what I do, I just don't think there's winning here. Like, I think for whatever reason, man, I'm oil in your water and much love, but I'm removing myself from this. And I took myself off the website.
Perfect answer.
I detached myself because it's like, hey, we're just spinning our wheels here. Like, you didn't even know what I did to bother you, but you said, well, don't, you know, think about it for a while and come back and tell me what you think you did that disrespected me. Like, hey, dude, I'm 36 years old.
No.
And I'm a father.
And you're running a fucking company.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need distractions.
I'm not going to play the third degree guessing game what I did to piss you off. If I bothered you, just have the conversation so I can correct it and so I can own it.
Mm-hmm.
And give me some benefit of doubt that my intentions were never to do that. Yeah. And to that person's credit, he did say, hey, I know your intentions are good. I know you have a big heart. I know you care. You know, when I don't get enough recognition and acknowledgement, it just bothers me. But I know you mean well. I could have said something, but I didn't. I didn't want to make an issue out of it. So he did say something polite back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it was like, hey, what are we doing here? Like, you know what? You're a good dude to everyone else but me. Like, everyone else loves you, I think. But for whatever reason, man, I'm just never going to be good enough. And then the way that you treat me is just not okay. So, hey, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just removed myself. But like, hey, so for our listeners, it's super important to have that self-respect and just realize at some point, it's okay to give people an opportunity to apologize and make corrections. But then after that happens, do they become distant? Are they no longer as good of a friend as they used to be? So now it's almost like they're throwing more of the credit towards you and they're not checking in on you. They're not supporting you. Or they turn back to just still being a jerk. Where does your self-respect lie? Where you go, hey, you know what? I'm not a big deal. You don't need to like me. You don't need to love me. For whatever reason, I rub you the wrong way. Like, hey, you know what? Cool. Like, go live your life. But guess what? I got to have some self-respect and I got to live mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then just getting back to that game plan. And I think that's super important. And then I'm going to leave you with this because I know you and I got a Zoom call to get on. Tough guys. Guys that self-proclaim is like, I know I'm an asshole, or that are just like tough dudes, or like, you know, say things behind your back, not seeking counsel, but just running their mouth, not for the betterment of the relationship, you know, and like you got all these tough guys, but then you've got the flip side of like none of them actually police each other at all or check each other at all. They all just mildly stroke each other's fucking egos and call each other the best in the world. And whatever it may be, and it's like, man, like, that also bothers me. And then when I'm the one that says something, I'm the outlier, or I'm the egotistical one or the asshole, and it's like, that's where you also have to just draw a line and go, hey, what's that worth energy-wise? And I know damn well, like, I'm a funny guy. I'm a laughable guy. We got guys in these circles that, you know, that bow hunt or that do whatever, and it's like, hey, don't take my laughter like I don't know BJJ or I didn't grow up boxing, or I can't handle myself. And I think my ego gets hit a little bit there because people do recognize me for having a big heart and being laughable and being fun. But then I also am the one that kind of gets walked on. And then every once in a while, my ego kind of creeps up on me, dude. And it's like, man, if you were to ever behave like this to my face, bad day. Because I know for a fact, hey, I would fucking handle you. I would fucking handle you guys. And then here's where I stop. Like, I'm stopping that comment right there. Hey, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like. Should people make you feel that way at all?
I don't like saying those things. Yeah. I don't like feeling that way. I don't like the fact that, like, why do I even need to puff my chest to prove myself? Yeah. But, man, at some point, like, yeah, around some of those circles, I kind of feel like I do. Like, hey, man, you guys are missing it.
Well, exactly, which is why being in those circles is like, you got to ask yourself, yeah, do I need to be in this circle?
And I'm not the toughest guy on the planet. I'm not Jukendo. I'm not, right? Like, I'm not, but I do know who I am. And no, I don't talk about those backgrounds. Like, one of your funniest comments was like, hey, Will, it's going to be super funny to find out, like, one day you're a brown belt in BJJ and you just never talk about it and you go to some dungeon gym and train. And like, yeah, you would never know, would you?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
as much as I do talk, no, you don't know everything about me. And I don't use it for those reasons and I don't say it for those reasons. But yeah, sometimes it just kind of hurts me as a man where I'm just like, hey, do I need to fucking puff my chest and like give a warning that like, hey, man, don't fucking talk to me like that. Or, hey, man, I'm not scared of anybody. Or, hey, man, you talk to me like that again, I'm going to throw you a fucking beating.
Well, and for people listening, too, if you're finding yourself having to say those things,
you got
get the fuck out.
And here's why.
Yeah.
And here's why. I'm not a tough guy. People can beat my ass. People can have your number. And knives, guns, like, there's all types of stuff that happen. And if you start puffing your chest towards some people, you're going to start puffing your chest everywhere else. Unknown elements. You're at a bar. You're drunk. Somebody pulls a knife on you.
It's
the bottom line is...
Yeah.
When you train, it's not for those reasons.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I got to catch myself and go, hey, what am I proving? What do I need to prove? Like, that's not me. I don't like those. And these are thoughts that I think of. I haven't actually said those things to those people. Mm-hmm. But, like, you play these scenarios out in your head of, oh, if this were to happen, I'd say this when you're in the shower and you're your own little tough guy.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, it's like, hey, I know who I am. I know I can handle myself. But I also know I got out of these circles for a reason. I've removed myself from these type of people for a reason because I don't like walking around feeling like I have to say those things or have my guard up or wonder what you're not going to like about me next.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is like, hey, I like me and I know I'm improving every day and I'm going to be the best version of myself over time and it gets better every day and we're doing good things and contributing to veterans and the theaters that we care about that were close to home with us. And we're taking care of our companies and our families and we're leveling up and we're doing a great job teaching people how to build their brands. And with integrity, we can say we're good dudes. And if some people don't think that or are throwing a little bit of shade for their own insecurities or their own whatever it may be, hey, just like I've got mine, they've got theirs. Leave it alone. Focus on your own. Be a good dude and keep moving forward.
That's the message, man.
That's it, bro.
That's it.
Don't come at me, Eli.
Appreciate you guys listening today.
What's that Will Ferrell movie when he's like, oh, roundhouse his ass with his stepbrothers?
Yeah, I think so.
If he comes at me, roundhouse his ass. Like,
that's hilarious.
Not you, Eli, but, you know, I digress. And again, like, I know some of this is emotional. I understand some of this is emotionally generating. But, like, hey, some of these friends are close to home. And I've had some growing to do. And Eli, you've been out of those circles. You've seen them from what they are. You don't admire these people at all. You see them for who they are, and you don't dislike them. Like, you're cool with them, but you see them for what they are. And like, I think sometimes when you admire people, you look up to people, or you know them from a past theater or whatever reason, there's a reason in your head where you subconsciously kind of like overly look up to them. You have to peel those layers back and kind of see things for what they are. And as you're doing that, man, you get super defensive and you start making it about yourself.
I'm also real cautious about letting people in. And that is like, yes, I'm naturally more of an introvert anyway, but that's also like part of a mechanism of like, man, the more you open your mouth, the more susceptible you leave yourself for people to know things about you, for people to have a fucking opinion about you in the first place. And for me, I'm like, man, I just know I'm good. I don't need to hear anyone's fucking opinion about me. I don't care.
And some of these I've seen from the gate, but others are like, no, they are good friends. But then like over time, it's like, hey, those people, as they've seen us grow and maybe grow past them or just maybe not grow past them, but just grow to a level that's like maybe bigger than they realize. All of a sudden, those people are throwing a little shade.
That's a real thing, man.
And you're like, so it's not just about when you guys are gatekeepers and finding your circle in the middle of it or in the beginning of it. You've got to like, you got to spring clean and look at, you know, the development of that friendship and where it goes and how people tend to behave. And if you can have a conversation and people can apologize and you can apologize for your side, hey, that's always great. Because you and I have had those conversations where you and I have apologized to each other before. But the bottom line is, that's not always the case. But what is the case is, the one thing you can't break up with is yourself.
Yeah.
So if things hit you to a certain way and you go, you know what, that's rubbing me because I need to get better at that, get better at it. Mm-hmm. And if it's rubbing you because you care about the person, but you are with integrity, doing the right things for the right reasons, and that's not about you, then just stay the course and keep being a good dude and keep contributing.
Absolutely.
100%.
I love it. Thank you guys for listening. This is the Day One Dollar Zero Podcast. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify, make sure you get over to YouTube and check out our Day One Dollar Zero channel, where we do play our live video from this.
Yes, sir.
And while you're there, leave a comment, like, and subscribe, all that stuff.
Right on.
We'll be back next week.
Don't throw any shade.
Or throw it out here. We'll see what happens. Fuck it. See you guys.
Enjoy your week. Out.